نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، today we're reading from Hadith 15. We already started the Hadith yesterday. We stopped it and took questions and gave responses to the questions that came. So we're reading from Hadith 15. Babu Hukil Walidain. Babu Hukil Walidain. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا بشر ابن المفضل قال حدثنا الجريري عن عبد الرحمن ابن أبي بكر عن أبيه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال الإشراك بالله وحقوق الوالدين وجلس وكان متكئا على وقوع الزور ما زال يكررها حتى قلت ليته سكت. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, as we explained, reported this hadith from Musabbad ibn Musarrad, his shaykh, rahimahullah, and he collected from Bishr ibn al-Mufaddal. We reminded us that it is not Bishr ibn al-Fadl, as it appears in some prints. It is Bishr ibn al-Mufaddal. Qala haddathana al-Juhuri. Al-Imam al-Juhuri, rahimahullah, is Sa'id ibn al-Iyad. عن عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر. عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر is the son of أبو بكر نفيع بن الحارث, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And عبد الرحمن was reporting this hadith from his father أبو بكر نفيع بن الحارث رضي الله عنه. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. نفيع بن الحارث أبو بكر said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر. He said that ثلاثة. ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر. ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر. Should I not tell you, or should I not list to you the Akbar al-Kabair? Should I not tell you the most grievous among the grievous sins? Allah unabdi'ukum bi Akbar al-Kabair. Should I tell you about Akbar al-Kabair, the worst of the major sins? He said, Salata. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that three times. Qalu bala ya Rasulullah. The companions radiallahu anhum said, yes, you should, O Messenger of Allah. Qala al-ishraku billah. The first of all the Prophet counted, alayhi salatu wa sallam, is al-ishraku billah, associating partners with Allah, and being unkind, being undutiful to the parents. Nufay ibn al-Harith, the companion, then said, وَجَلَسَ وَكَانَ مُتَّكِئًا. After mentioning حُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, the Prophet sat up, alayhi salatu wa sallam, وَكَانَ مُتَّكِئًا. And before that, he was resting, he was reclining, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then he said, Allah, wa qawluzzur, wa ma zalil tabiruha, Allah, listen, and also, qawluzzur, is every false statement, statement of vanity, statements of false accusations, statements that will be presented to be good, but they are actually bad and evil. This companion, Nufayr ibn Farid, radiallahu anhu, continued and said, مَا زَالَ يُكَبِّرُهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stop repeating it. He continued to repeat, Allah wa qawlu zur, Allah wa qawlu zur, Allah wa qawlu zur, hatta qultu, until I was thinking and saying to myself, laytahu sakata, I wish that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was silent because of how he was repeating Allah wa qawlu zur, Allah wa qawlu zur. So this is the hadith in its general meaning. So we can go back to it, inshallah, to take points of benefit. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, has placed it under Babu Bafu Kilwalide, the chapter about disobedience or unkindness to both parents. We have explained to us that Uquq itself, Uquq al-Walide, is the opposite of Birrul Walidain. The command we have in the Quran is that we must make Birrul Walidain. We must be dutiful to our fathers and our mothers. This is the basic rule in the Sharia. Except when they invite us to disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even at that, we still must be dutiful to them. We still must be kind and compassionate to them. In other aspects of the dunya. So the Prophet said, Allah anabbiukum bi akbar al kaba'ir. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even his enemies testified to the fact that he was a great teacher, alayhi salatu wa sallam. The best of the manners of teaching and imparting knowledge was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was why you would find us as scholars, as irreligious, as far away from guidance, as the Arabs were. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi turned them to become the people who were well-known, set them to be for being very, very religious, basically, essentially religious. They are the Prophet, essentially religious and full of morals. Morality became the core of us. There are things that are common in communities are and are seen to be normal by the vast majority of the people. But among Arabs, even till today, even if you find people who are still doing that, they never recognize the fact that these things are evil. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned the Arabs from people who are useless, essentially in the days of Jahiliyyah. He turned them by Allah's permission. He turned them from his good way of teaching, alayhi salatu wa sallam, and imparting knowledge from his nice way, alayhi salatu wa sallam, of bringing the message to them. They became turned into people who they all got even ways turned and they became the people of goodness. So from the approach of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally speaking, to teach, when he taught, one of the things he did, or some of the things he used to do to be sure that the listener and his students, and his companions who were learning from him, that the message was worthwhile taking from there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam employed two of them in this expression. Allahu nabbi'ukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir. Allahu nabbi'ukum bi أكبر الكبائر حياء أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر also discovered, for example, who the person of Al-Imam al-Bukhari was amongst we Muslims. So we want to take who is Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And we want to start which Bukhari are you talking about? Was it Abu Ja'far al-Bukhari? Hatib al-Bukhari? The successor of Al-Imam al-Bukhari? This kind of a time, bearing in mind how much the companions respect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how in high esteem they hold the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that the atmosphere would have been calm, every attention would have been drawn to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this question is the point in it, this expression, the point in it says, would be open the Akbar al-Kabair. In other reports, it says, Allah is beautiful. Should I not inform you? Should I not tell you about the Akbar al-Kabair? This statement means that they are survived. That's why we can talk about Kabair. Kabair means the major thing. Kabair means the major thing. And each of them is referred to as well. Kabira. But he says, should I not tell you about the Kabair? We understand from it that there are Kabair, each of which is referred to as Kabira. Things that are lesser in their punishment, in their evil, in their sin, in the gravity than the Kabair. When we say the Kabair are major things, the Kabair are minor things. It is not that they are minor, they are small, they are also big, they are also bad, but with respect to the Kabair, they are lesser in their evil and in their gravity. No one should understand that when it is said that major things are minor things, that the minor things are small, irrelevant, they are trivial, they can be done without a problem. So some of the people think that this is the meaning of a minor thing. No, a minor thing is a thing that is lesser in degree than those that are referred to as major things. But they are also grievous. The minor things are also grievous. They are only considered relatively minor with respect to the Kabair, but they are also grievous and destructive in their nature. So this is the difference. So when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah unadbi'ukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir, we understand that yes, there are some things that are lesser than these ones. But he says, akbar al-kaba'ir, Allah unadbi'ukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir. Should I not tell you about the worst, the most grievous of the major things? The second point of reference here, point of benefit from this expression is that it means that even amongst the Kabair, there are those that are worse than all of us. The Kabair are many. We give us 4 points, 4 ways of recognizing a Kabira. For example, that Allah mentions it, or that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions it, that it's a biggest thing. We know that it's Kabira. Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a punishment and connects it to it. We know that the punishment is a major thing. Or that Allah agrees that it's a major thing. Or that a punishment, a legal punishment, had, is attached to that thing. So we know that these are the major things, and there are many. But in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me tell you about the worst of the major sins. It means even amongst the major sins, amongst the kabbalists, there are worse ones than others. So the kabbalists have akbar minhum. But yes, there are kabbalists, but amongst them, those that are worse in their evil, and in their gravity, and in their seriousness. These are the ones that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is talking about. Amongst the kabbalists, those ones that are worse than others, even amongst the kabbalists. There is often that they come around these, perhaps we should mention this, and we bring this here. But this is not only because in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam mentioned al-Ishraqullah, he mentioned Prophet and Qadilzu. Does it mean that, for example, Qadilzu and al-Ishraqullah are now at the same level? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam mentioned this is at the same level with Al-Ishraqullah. No, it doesn't. Because there are other clear cut texts in the Quran that make us understand that they are not at the same level. So even among the Akbar and Kabair that the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are still not on the same level. So things are not all of the same level. There are those that are referred to as Sabair, the minor things, relatively minor compared to the major ones. Then there are major things. Then among the major things, there are those that are worse and more grievous, Akbar al-Kabair. Then among even these Akbar al-Kabair, there are still darakat. There are still degrees of gravity of evil, or darajat if you want. But there are still degrees of even among the Akbar al-Kabair. There is still a gradation of seriousness and seriousness amongst these things. So the major point is that those are not part of the particular gravity, depending on the text of the Quran and depending on the Ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and depending on what is still given of the kinds of evil. Maybe the person will be able to have it as think the person will be able to have a son, the person will be able to be rich in his life, because these are all the things people are running after now. The person will be able to handle that topic. So these kinds of things that we do for our family to show that we are his slave, to show that we are dedicated ourselves to him. If a person does it like that to a person or a thing, he becomes a mushrik thereof. He becomes a mushrik thereof. That's a point one of the scholars explained about al-ishraq billah, and I think it is very, very relevant to our times. If we say al-ishraq billah, means joining partners in worship with Allah, directing what is meant for Allah, like prostration, like ruku'ah, like slaughtering for other than Allah, like tawaf, making tawaf around a thing apart from the Kaaba. And even when we make tawaf around the Kaaba, we are doing it by following the instruction of Allah. So all of these acts of worship that must only be directed, like supplicating to other than Allah, asking other than Allah to give you what other than Allah cannot give, asking something to give you long life, asking something to make you rich, asking something or somebody to make you someone who will be successful in your affairs that you do. So all of these are forms of shirk. So the scholar said, Rahimahullah, he has passed away. He said that one of the ways of looking at this matter is that how about people who do not even believe in Allah at all? He said their case is worse, and they are also included in this. Al-Ishraq Billah, someone who makes shirk affirms that there is Allah, but is joining a partner with Allah in worship. But the one who does not believe that there is Allah is worse than this person who does not believe that there is Allah. The one who believes that there is Allah, and then he joins partners with Allah, he affirms Allah's being, but he joins partners with Allah, he will make it. But Allah came, and this one is the person who doesn't even believe that there is Allah at all. Who doesn't even believe that he needs to worship Allah at all. His own case is worse. His own case is worse. So in this case, al-ishraq billah also refers to other forms of kufr. All forms of disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes under this al-ishraq billah. It is the worst of all sins. The Allah protect all of us. The second point the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think we can move ahead from that, is that hukukul walidain, and this is our point of reference in this hadith. The second worst sin, most grievous sin, the Prophet mentioned here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is disobedience to parents, being undutiful to parents. Al-Imam ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, when he explained this hadith, because this hadith also occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, even though with slightly different expression, he said the Prophet said, Allah unabbi'ukum. In Sahih al-Bukhari, it occurs as Allah ukhbirukum. These are the kinds of differences that you find. But the hadith also occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. Al-Imam ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, explained al-ukuk. He said, al-ukuk, al-ukuk al-walidain, is suduru ma yata'adha bihi al-walid min waladi. Suduru ma yata'adha bihi al-walidu min waladihi. That a child, something that the parent, something that brings hurt, something that brings harm, emotionally or physically, should come from the child to the parent. A child does something that his parents or her parents finds it hurting or harmful, whether it is physical or emotional. Mean calling, whether what that child has done is a statement. Like the child says a statement and the mother is annoyed with it. This is from hukukul walidain. That the child says a statement and the father says the father. and it is annoying to the father. This is from Rakufu Duwalide. All that the child, like he says, Rahimahullah, or sorry, all the child does an action, and it's annoying to the parent. It is from Rakufu Duwalide. Every statement and action that brings hurt, that brings harm, physically or emotionally, to the parent, from the child of that parent, is from the aspect of again. So when Allah in the Quran said, "Fala taqul lahuma uffin," don't tell them off. "Wala tanharhuma," don't make any statements that will bring them down. These two things are from the aspect of what? Uququl walidain. And others in its meaning. Everything in the meaning of these two things, whether an action or a statement. It says, bring down your wings of humility from them out of compassion. So when you behave arrogantly to the parents, that is from the aspect of Kukul Walidin. When you slap them, when you abuse them, when you insult them, when you do anything or say anything that brings hurt to the parents, this is from Kukul Walidin. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that it is from Akbarul Kabari. So my dear brothers, and all the rest of us listening to us, we must understand now that if a person says, I am always because we all need to re-look at our activities and reconsider them. No one of us should be so described by the Spirit. This one, is there anything you can't say to me? You say you are doing, you want to establish the religion. You want to establish the sunnah. You must not establish the sunnah and then you have this name. You must be sure that if it has to do with something that is a sin, an act of sin, yes, you will not do this thing, but you must still show them kindness. If it involves an act of immolation, yes, you must not involve it in the act of immolation, but you must still be kind to them. One of our brothers, his father was a storefront in Tariq Qasijaniya. The father used to compel everybody in the house to come for Wazifa every evening and Al Kubra every Friday between Salatul Asr and Salatul Maghrib. When this person found out that this thing is not right, he just went to the father and said, "My father, I'm not going to come for this sitting anymore from today because I have realized that it is not from the religion of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is not from the things that a Muslim should do." The father was angry and he was still begging him to calm down. "Don't be angry, but I will not come." Then he said that, "But I will not come. I will not attend to the father was doing that." And one day, the rest of his brothers who were still attending, who were shy, who were unable to say well, that look, we are not going to do this. The father was referring to them as hypocrites. He thought that, "Yes, you are just sitting with me, your mind is not with me. This one who is able to tell me that he will not come here again is better than all of you, because you are a hypocrite. You are just sitting down here and your mind is not here." So even in the aspect of issues of the religion, we've explained this, but I think it needed that we give it at least a mention here. But Rukul Walidain does not involve shirk and sin. That was what also Ibn Hajar said here, rahimahullah. He said, Rukul Walidain is Suduru ma yata'adda bihi alwalidu min waladihi min qawlin aw fi'lin illa fi shirkin. The hurt that the parents get from their children, whether as a result of a statement or an action, illa fi shirkin, except when that hurt has to do with the rejection of the child to join them in joining partners with Allah. The child rejects, "I will not do this. I will not go with you here. I will not do this with you." This is not from a kuful walidain. Allah ma'asiyati. All the parents who don't hear hijab, all the parents who change their ears, all the parents who don't sleep and the fire, you must bow the child on the ground. The command of this parent and the rejection of the child in this kind of a circumstance does not come from the aspect of Okuluwalide. Even though the parents will find hurt, even though they feel emotionally bad about it, the child's rejection and inviting them to that which is good is not considered as from the aspect of Okuluwalide. Many times it happens. Parents will say, if you don't share this, I will cause you. These kinds of causes from parents, i.e., they are in pain. They are not things that Allah accepts from them. Why? Because it is not from the aspect of the child has not does not deserve that cause or that negative statement from them. Many times it happens. A woman or a brother is saying, my father says, if I don't draw my lower garment, it will cost me. No. This is from the aspect of disobedience to Allah. Okuluwalidain does not come under the issue of disobedience. But even at that, the Quran tells us, and the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا Don't follow them. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا He says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا But in the other aspects of the dunya, yes, you must still carry on, still maintain them, still wash their clothes, still take care of them. One thinking for the brothers who may go extreme in these matters will say that, you mean now I should still wash the feet of my mother who is mushrik? Is it not that I'm supporting our conscience? No. Washing her clothes, taking care of her, ironing her clothes, you know, taking her out on her engagement, providing food to her, they are not from the aspects of support for a person who is upon shirk or a person who is upon innovation. So the major point of reference in this hadith under this chapter heading is the fact that the Okuluwalidain is named Akbari Kabari. It's from the worst of the major things. Okuluwalidain is from the worst of the major things. May Allah protect us from it all. وَذَلَكَ وَكَانَ مُتَّكِئًا فَتَفَقَّهُ صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أبو بكر نفيل بن الحارث who reported the hadith صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم It means that all the time the Prophet was saying عليه الصلاة والسلام ألا أخبركم بأكبر الكبائر ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر and repeating all of these at these instances he was وَكَانَ مُتَّكِئًا he was reclining Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Shama'il, he made us understand that the Prophet ﷺ used to recline. He was reclining, and his reclining were usually to his right side. He would usually recline to his right side. He even gave a bath in al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya that the Prophet ﷺ had wisad a pillow or a pipe that he placed on his under his arms when he reclined, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi gave it under the chapter heading that, the chapter on the Prophet reclining on a pillow. It means we can recline too. The person can have a sitting place and he has a pillow with which he reclines. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke and explained to us the worth of these kaba'ir, he was reclining. It says وَجَلَكَ then he sat up صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وكان مُتَّكِئًا even though he was reclining all the time when he spoke then the Prophet said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Allah he called our attention صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وَقَوْلُ الزُّورِ Allah وَقَوْلُ الزُّورِ Allah وَقَوْلُ الزُّورِ he started saying Allah وَقَوْلُ الزُّورِ from the worst of the major things is قَوْلُ الزُّورِ قَوْلُ الزُّورِ Every statement of falsehood is zuhr. Every lie is that himself is zuhr. Zuhr itself is an expression that is employed that is something that is evil, but it is presented as true. This is zuhr. This is zuhr. Shahada to zuhr is that someone gives evidence that is false, but he gives it like a true statement. This is Shahada to Zuhr. The reason why it is Zuhr is that it is false, presented as truth. Each time someone presents falsehood as truth, in the garb of truth, this kind of a presentation is referred to as what? Zuhr. Zuhr is a lie that is presented that the listener should take it as a true lie, but given as a statement of truth. People do that. You see that the first passage of the Quran, the first ahadith, and what they are going to say underneath it is a falsehood. Many times it may be deliberate. Sometimes it may be from a result of ignorance. It may be as a result of ignorance. This is the life of the life. The least of what we can say. He is not knowledgeable that what he's saying is wrong. He's not employing a statement of truth to establish a falsehood. This is Zuhr. In fact, another name we can refer to it is Bajaliyah. Because the meaning of Bajal is the one who presents evil. He's presenting evil to the people to appear as a truth. In our own generation now, we refer to it as packaging. This statement of packaging is Zuhr. It's Zuhr. Because most of the time, when you say, packaging, or it's packaging, what it means is that they know what is behind it is bad, but they present it to be good. But they present something to something that is good as something that is extremely good, not something that is as good as it. It is from the aspect of presenting something in a manner that it is not. So there is no time that we should give a statement that contradicts the reality of what is under them. That is why Allah told us in Surah Al-Ahzab, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Al-Qawlu Sadeed is a statement that just describes that thing as it is. It is Qawlu Sadeed. Just as it is. He said it just as it is. So there are many times people present something that is false, something that is not true. They present it and it appears to be true. This is called Zuhr. From the aspect of calling Zuhr is Shahada to Zuhr. From the aspect of calling Zuhr, when it is called, it is general in every circumstance. So what it has to do with witnessing, perhaps in a law court before a judge, or in the case of reconciling between two feuding parties amongst the Muslims, and someone has to give a witness about what the other party did or said, then he gives a statement that is false because he wants to support the partisanship. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on repeating Allah wa qawli zuhr. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah wa qawli zuhr. Allah wa qawli zuhr. Allah wa qawli zuhr. And the companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to repeat it. The Prophet continued to repeat it until I said to myself, Prophet, keep quiet, it's okay, we have heard. This is from the aspect of the companion's mercy and compassion towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was repeating it because of the evil nature of Qawli Zuhr. Al-Imam ibn Daqiq al-Eid rahimahullah, one of the biggest scholars of Sunnah in the Egyptian land, we know he has a sharh of the book on that of Ahkam. He has other books. Al-Imam ibn Daqiq al-Eid, when he spoke about this, he said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a lot of attention to Qawl Zuhr and continue to repeat it. He says, لِأَنَّهَا أَسْهَلُ وُقُوعًا عَلَيْنَا. لِأَنَّهَا, because Qawl Zuhr, أو شهادة Zuhr, أَسْهَلُ وُقُوعًا عَلَيْنَا. Easily people say Qawl Zuhr. Easily, it affects the people easily. Qawl Zuhr, easily people sell their products in the market. They know Qawl Zuhr. Present the market, they present the product in a manner that it is not. Some people will even go on to swear regarding that. And that's what they say. It is from the aspect of Qawli Zuhr. Or another one, he tries to marry a sister. He presents that sister in a manner that she's not. Or a man wants another man to marry his daughter. He presents his daughter in a way that she's not. It's good. A this Tamar want her brother to marry her friend, and then she presents her friend in a manner that she's not. Each time that it is negative, it's a positive presentation of something that is not negative, that is not truly positive. This is the rule. And the Imam Ibn Bakir, in the Eid, rahimahullah, says, the Prophet gave it so much attention because لِأَنَّهَا أَسْهَلُ وُقُوعًا عَلَى النَّارِ. People easily fall prey to call so easily it affects the people. وَتَهَاوَنُ بِهَا أَكْثَرُ. And then people take it lightly. Easily people do it. Easily people take it lightly. People do it easily. They take it lightly. Somebody comes, he wants a job, and then he is presented in a manner that he is not. People have to see this when they are not. Compose life in the letters with which they seek contracts, which they have not done. So what do you mean? They say no. They go and find projects that other companies have already put it in their paper. Company paper. Mr. Mark, these projects are not done by you. This is Zohar. As we have these kinds of things, it's Zohar. That was why the Prophet was speaking. Allah wa qawli Zohar. Allah wa qawli Zohar. Allah wa qawli Zohar. Allah wa qawli Zohar. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason the Prophet was repeating it is that wa mustadatuha wa mustadatuha. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa mustadatuha al-asar wuku'an. And the evils, the evil consequences of that easily, they are easily seen. So once you have a certain time, take care of something. And taking care of these things will affect 5,000 other people. And it's not capable of taking care of it. So the people now believe him and they need him to take care of it. So you see, what is the consequence? 5,000 other people will suffer from the mismanagement of that person that has been brought to position by Zohar. So it's like the master that the evil consequences and repercussions of Zohar, it's even spread amongst the people. It says because the Allah Shaker, even the one who is Muslim, and disobedience to Christ is something that innately, inside of every person seeks to avoid it. If a person who does not know anything about Islam will hate that a man is disobedient and unkind to his mother or father. So that's why we don't like to be disobedient, except the ones that have been overrun by self-pride and self-importance and false sense of arrogance. But our natural body likes to be human. And the Sheikh Islam teaches us almost every day we hear that run away from Sheikh, run away from Sheikh. So these two will run away from them. But all of this is not something that people easily run away from. That's why people think that it is normal. If a young sister is presenting a man to another young person to marry, why she knows that this thing out there are different things? May Allah protect all of us. So الإمام ابن بكير بن العيد رحمه الله فإن الحوامل عليه أكثر. The things that bring people to make our zur is much. Sometimes it is hate. السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
We can quickly go on with this in a short time and we can quickly go on to end the class inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to repeat waqawul zur, waqawul zur. And the companion Abu Bakra radiallahu anhu said later who sakata, I was wishing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep quiet and rest because he was repeating the hadith, he was repeating the statement Allah waqawul zur, Allah waqawul zur. Allah wa qawl zur. But the major point of reference from this hadith is the fact that uququl walidain is from akbarul kabair. Uququl walidain is from akbarul kabair. May Allah protect us from that. I think we can quickly go to the next hadith, hadith number 16. That hadith is a hadith of Al-Imam al-Bukhari reporting from Muhammad ibn Salam. Muhammad ibn Salam is Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikandi. قال أخبرنا جريج قال أخبرنا جرير. This Imam Jarir is Jarir ibn Abdul Hamid al-Qadi, and he is reporting from Abdul Malik ibn Umair, rahimahullah, who is reporting from Warrad. Warrad is Katib al-Mughira. Warrad is Katib al-Mughira. He is the secretary of the companions, radiyallahu anhu, Mughira ibn Shu'bah. قال كتب معاوية إلى المغيرة. معاوية بن أبي سفيان, who was Amir at the time, sent a letter to Mughira ibn Shu'bah and said to him in it, اكتب إلي بما سمعت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Send a note to me of what anything you had heard from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال وراد. وراد, who is the secretary of Mughira ibn Shu'bah, رحمه الله, said, فأملى علي وكتبت بيدي. So the companion Mughira ibn Shu'bah, أملى علي, he dictated to me, وكتبت بيدي, and I wrote it down with my hand, that إني سمعته ينهى عن كثرة السؤال. I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ينهى عن كثرة السؤال. He was prohibiting from much questioning. Someone asking questions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited it. وَإِضَاعَةِ الْمَالِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also prohibited wasting wealth. وَأَنْ كِيلَ وَقَالَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also prohibited, you know, كِيلَ دِسَتْ وَقَالَ. He said that he's going all about with information, going all about with things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited that people go all about carrying information, so and so said, so and so said, so and so said. But we see this hadith 16, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned it under Babu Uquqil Walidain. But we have not seen anything in it that has to do with Uquqil Walidain. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companion, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yanha an kathrat su'al wa idha'ati al-mal wa an kila wa qala. So why is it under the bab on huquq al-walidain? It is part of a hadith. The full part of the hadith occurs in hadith number 460 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. There the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa kana yanha an huquq al-ummahat. From the expressions in this hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'bah that was written down by Warrad, is that kana yanha an huquq al-ummahat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to forbid the people being disobedient to their mothers. It is the second hadith in this chapter. So part of that hadith, the full hadith of present hadith 460. But the part of it, so the part of it mentioned, it was mentioned as to be a reference. So you come back to the full report in hadith 460. But the point of reference regarding huquq al-walidain in this part of the hadith has to do with what the Prophet said that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his prohibition of huquq al-ummahat, that the people should become disobedient to their mother. I think we can stop here today. Hadith number 15 and 16 come under huquq al-walidain. And I think the bulk of what has been said about huquq al-walidain when the internet was clear is the same thing that we see about hadith 16, except the fact that hadith 16 has been repeated in hadith 460. Fortunately, the recording with me here is going to be complete, inshallah. And I'll send it to Abu Yusuf to share it with the rest of us, even when the internet was becoming difficult. So bismillah, it will be shared, and the bulk of us, inshallah, will still get the class for today, bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.